What's up, everybody? This is Baby Gene. We're going to give you your Indianapolis Motor Speedway NASCAR weekend breakdown. So we are the Big One Podcast. You can find us on Twitter /X at Podcast Big One. You can always email us at podcastbigone@gmail.com. We are a motorsports podcast. We will talk about mainly NASCAR. We will talk about Formula One as long as B-Boy is not boycotting Formula One, which he seems locked in right now because the racing action is good. We will talk IndyCar, which we're very into, which we'll get into a little bit later in this podcast. But as I said, we talk racing. So NASCAR this weekend was at the Indianapolis Raceway Park, which is a little bull ring right around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But before we get to that, we need to give a little shout out to our sponsor. So the sponsor this week, this is Big Money Boys. We've got the Old German Beer Hall in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, sponsoring the podcast this week. So they came through in the clutch tonight. We had the Republican National Convention down at Pfizer Forum. I actually left Milwaukee for the week and lived in Franklin, Wisconsin, home of the former Super Speedway. This was an eighth mile track that was out in Hills Corners, Wisconsin. I'm joking, it's not a Super Speedway. This was an eighth mile little dirt track that was out there in Hills Corners, Wisconsin. It's now been turned into a Menards, and they have a sign called Menards Super Speedway. Man, I wish this track still was there, because when I was a kid, we're going to get off the rails a little bit here, but as a kid, I remember going to this track. We were having an amazing time. The one time we went, we sat in turn three. The cars ripped around there. They threw dirt on our face, on our shirts. Yeah, we never went again. But that racetrack, it's apparently been there for a very, very long time. We sat in the wrong spots. It was a dirt track race. My parents didn't realize how interested your kids would be in racing at the time. We're going to keep this moving. So the truck race at Indianapolis Raceway Park, Friday night, this was an absolute banger. So I decided to kind of go out and figure out what I was doing this weekend. Ended up finding Indeed Brewing Company, my absolute favorite bar in the city of Milwaukee. The bartender was a total sweetheart. She let me taste like four beers. Loved them all, as you normally do at Indeed Brewing Company. And then I sat there and I was watching the race on my phone. So first stage, Ty Majeski, he kind of slithered his way through the field. And he took stage one. So stage two, then, we got a little stage break. We got a couple of people there trying to order frozen pizzas. They're all confused about, are these frozen pizzas? Are these handmade pizzas? And the bartender's doing, she's doing the hard sell. These are gluten-free, only veggie pizzas. So they end up not ordering the pizza. So I'm like, all right, your bar's dead. Let's get this NASCAR race up on the TV here. So she ends up putting the race on the TV rep at me. So immediately for me, that's a massive increase in my tip. I'm normally a dollar a beer guy. Like, if I get three beers and it's $30, I'm probably going to tip $3. But she put the NASCAR race on and ended up ripping that tab up to $50. So, I mean, if you get three beers and they're $7 a piece, you're at 21 bucks. Rip that MFR up to $50 and you move on with life and hope you can see the end of the race at the brewery. So we end up seeing stage two. Your stage two winner was Ty Majeski. And then this thing absolutely got absolutely crazy in the third stage. So stage three, Luke Venhaus, my local guy from Slinger Speedway. I've been seeing this guy dominate Slinger Speedway in his late model, super late model car for years and years now. And he's been getting a consistent ride in Xfinity. It's the SodaSense ride. not in Xfinity, excuse me, the Soda Sense ride in Trucks. Same car that sponsors him at Slinger. And he's been absolutely performing extremely well in the Truck Series. I mean, I'm absolutely praying that this guy gets a full ride in the Truck Series next year. So Fenhouse is literally in the top 10 the entire time I'm watching the race at this brewery. And he ends up finishing in 7th place. So I think, I'd have to go back and look. I think this is his best finish in the Truck Series ever. But Luke Fenhouse, this is a guy that you're going to want to be looking out for in the future. So other finishers in this truck race, Roger Carruth finished right behind Fenhouse in 8th. And then in the rest of the standings, I mean, I don't know there was a whole lot to get excited about here. We got Nick Sanchez in 10th. Ross Chastain ran this thing. He was in 11th. Just scrolling through the standings here. Matt Crafton was in 24th. Nothing really changed as far as the playoffs for the Truck Series. No new winners, nothing like that. Tim Majeski overall, he just put an ass-whooping on this field. So after the truck race, a little bit of upcoming stuff for the NASCAR and Xfinity Series. So on Saturday, we've got an early Xfinity race. Very, very early. So this is going to be absolutely awesome. I'm looking to go to the beach tomorrow. So we got the NASCAR Xfinity race at 2:35. Stage breakdown, 50-50, 60, nice clean break. And then on Sunday, the Cup race is going to be absolutely awesome. First time we're going to the back to the Brickyard in a couple of years. So 1:31 Central Time, that's 2:31 Eastern Time. We got the NASCAR Cup Series Brickyard 400, 50 laps, 50 laps, and 40 laps for your final stage. So I think this is going to be an absolutely interesting race. First time we're going to the Brickyard in a number of years, and I think the drivers are extremely excited about what's going to happen here at the Brickyard. I mean, I looked into tickets. I was about to jump in my car and go down there this weekend, but it just didn't work as far as the weather's looking a little bit iffy, and I'm not sure that I wanted to drive back on Sunday 4.5 hours back to my home front here. But then again, what else do you have to do on a Sunday other than driving home from seeing the Brickyard 400? So we're going to jump into a little bit of other series. So I watched the IndyCar series that was at Iowa Speedway. Wow, this is one of the absolutely most boring races I've ever seen. The weekend before was at Mid-Ohio, where there was the debut of the IndyCar hybrid car, which is absolutely insane on the Mid-Ohio. I don't know if it's a road course, street course. It looked like maybe just like a designer road course. IndyCar, holy smokes, this technology that they are building is some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen. It's like a very small battery pack. It recharges really fast. It expels all its energy real fast, and it's absolutely a game changer for IndyCar on the road courses. But then we went to the IndyCar Iowa, and holy cow. I mean, I was watching this race on Sunday with Papa G and Mama G, and literally nobody passed anybody for 25 to 30 laps, and someone sent up the helicopter signal like, we're out. We went to a little local brewery called the Explorium. This is insane. It's a brewery inside of a mall. So we went and we did a little shopping, we did a little walking, and then we did a little drinking on top of that. And by the time we got to the end of our walking, the race was over, nobody passed anybody, and the biggest event of the entire race happened after the race was over. I don't know who was involved in this, but somebody drove up on someone and they flipped that car over, and the car was up in the air and flipping, and it was like, all right, cool, well, the guy that was going to win the race won the race, and it's over, so whatever. So IndyCar, I mean, it continues to be a very, very hard sell for me to my local racing family, but I am looking forward to, we'll touch on this a little bit later, getting to IndyCar in Milwaukee. Next track up on the schedule was a local track, Slinger Speedway Nationals. So I recently, a little bit of inside baseball, I recently took a new job. Don't have to work on the Tuesday of Slinger Nationals anymore. I mean, I did have to work, and I barely got there in time to tailgate a little bit and see this race. But Slinger Nationals, so Slinger Speedway, we've talked about this on the podcast many of times. A little quarter-mile short track here out in Slinger, Wisconsin. Slinger Nationals, they bring about 30 super late model cars from around the country. It's a lot of times they'll draw one or two NASCAR guys in. This year, the only draw was Ryan Preece. Last year, I think it was William Byron, and he won. Obviously, good driver is good. William Byron dominated and won that race last year that I could not attend. But this year, Ryan Preece was in the field, so he got out there and he let it rip a little bit. So Slinger Nationals, this thing was a fucking mess this year. I mean, I've got my notes. I mean, I've got like lap 16, 18, 23, 40. This is a 200-mile quarter lap race, and this thing went yellow like literally every five laps. It was absolutely brutal to watch as a fan, and I'm not going to lie, I don't even remember who won the race, because there was a little bit of controversy after the race that, so the guy went through tech, he qualified, his car was good. The next morning I wake up, I read an article that says, oh, by the way, the winner of the Slinger Nationals, that was an absolutely hot mess with cautions all over the place, got disqualified, and some other guy won. Which, to me, that's absolutely insane. I mean, you qualify a car for the race, he runs 200 laps, then you do qualifying technology again at the end. And it sounded like his roof was, like, 2 inches too low, which is, like, I think you would probably catch that in the pre-race technology check. But it is what it is. So some other guy won $20,000 at Slinger Nationals. So I can't imagine going from being the guy that, hey, I won 20 grand. Slinger Nationals winner, the next morning he wakes up after drinking like 14 Busch Lights or Hams or whatever he's drinking out there in his pit box. By the way, you only won $2,000 because you took second now, a brother. Here's what we're looking for the rest of the racing weekend. So we got a lot of racing going up here. So we got a Indy Truck Series just wrapped up. Tomorrow Xfinity Series, like we said earlier, 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 Eastern, Indianapolis Motor Speedway Xfinity Series. And then on Sunday we got the big old NASCAR race. So 2:30 Eastern Time, 1:30 Central, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It sounds like they've sold about 70,000 tickets. This place holds about 300,000 people. So if you're local in Indy, you're probably going to be getting some free tickets pretty soon. Like I said, I was trying to get out there this year. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe we'll get out there in next year. But Baby G local schedule for tomorrow. We've got a lot of stuff going on here in the local Milwaukee market. There's a little bit of racing going on, but I don't think I'm going to get to it. It's a little bit outside my normal comfort zone. We got Wisconsin Dells Speedway. They're running some races. We got Beloit Speedway running races. Saturday nights in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I mean, you're an hour away from an absolute ton of racing, but do you want to invest the time to get out there? So on my schedule tomorrow, we've got a little bit of rock climbing actioning. Baby G's coming out with Jerry G. We're going to do some lead climbing tomorrow. After that, I've been told 2 o'clock p.m. you've got to be at the beach. So as I said earlier for the Xfinity race, we're not going to see it. We're going to need someone else to step up and do a race recap for that one. No big deal, but we're going to be at the beach. We're going to be climbing with some hotties. We're going to get it done. After that, I've been told there's another beach party on the other side of the beach. So we're going to be getting out there. We're going to be ripping it up. And in the evening, we've also got no racing. So the Xfinity race is going off early, so we do not have to take any notes. We're good to go there. We are going to be seeing a beach birthday bash. So this is the absolutely third birthday party of the weekend, and it's going to be somewhere on the beach. I have absolutely no idea, but we are going to figure that out. So we're going to log off here on a Friday evening after an absolutely amazing truck race, some breakdowns of truck, ARCA, and some other racing, and we will continue this podcast after we get through Xfinity and Cup. We are jumping into Xfinity on Saturday at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So your stage one winner was Riley Herbst. Your stage two winner was Ryan Sieg, and your race winner was Riley Herbst. So this was a race that I didn't really catch a whole lot of action of because I was down at Bradford Beach out here in Milwaukee. We did a little beach day. Severin brought a ton of beer. We brought a ton of food. We brought like 15 volleyballs. Absolutely awesome time celebrating one of our friends, celebrating her graduation from the Medical College of Wisconsin. So when your friends, they graduate medical school, they get that first job, you know they're going to be making an absolutely boatload of money in the near-term future, but you throw them an absolutely hell of a party. We tried to go over there for the after-party tonight. Could not find parking. It was absolutely insane. So there was something going on the east side of Milwaukee. So I ended up bailing. So we're doing a quick little recap hit of the Xfinity race tonight. Biggest thing I want to call out is Shane Van Gisbergen. This guy finishes fourth on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Like, are you kidding me? That just shows how big of a talent that SVG is. His fan base is growing by the week, and I am absolutely here for it. So let's break that down again. Herbst with a win, SVG in fourth, and Baby G absolutely failed on going to the after party after playing 14 hours of volleyball at the beach. A little bit hot. I missed out on the pizza that we were ordering to the post-party spot, but I've also got pizza ordered on the way tonight to downtown Milwaukee, and we will continue the pod tomorrow with a little bit of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. To wrap up the Xfinity racing discussion, at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this was some of the best racing I've seen in a very long time from a television perspective. So NBC, USA, whatever it was, in that family of networks, they go to the overhead shot of Almirola, Cups, Custer, and Herbst all battling for the race win, and Riley Herbst ends up getting to the left rear quarter panel of Eric Almirola on turn three and passes for the win. So on these Xfinity cars, it's not like the Cup cars where once you get behind the guy, you just kind of sit there and your car stalls out because there's no air going into the intake of the engine. On these Xfinity cars, if you get to that left rear corner panel, you can just take all of the energy and air outside of the car in front of you, move them up the track just a little bit, and then your car is just like a rocket ship blasting off, and you make that pass to the win, as we saw today with Riley Herbst. An absolute amazing drive. I cannot express how awesome this absolute last lap was. You've got three guys going three wide on the straightaway at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Guy gets to the rear. He ends up being able to pass him for the win, which is something that we don't see a whole lot on the ovals anymore in the Cup Series. So My personal opinion is let's put these Cup drivers in these Xfinity cars on the ovals and just forget about it. Like, we've got multi-car teams. Most of the Cup teams have an Xfinity team. Forget about it. We need to admit that this Cup car has been an absolute failure on anything that is not an intermediate track, and we need to get racing on ovals good again in the Cup Series. NASCAR Cup Series at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This was a pretty fun watch. I ended up going to a suicide awareness / prevention fundraiser at the Drunk Uncle in West Ellis, Wisconsin. So this is a little dive bar that's about a mile from Milwaukee Mile. Mile from the mile, that's a mouthful right there. But it's about a mile from the track. It's one of my go-to dive bars here in the city of Milwaukee. And I'm watching the phone on my race on my phone. I've got the IndyCar race on. I've got the NASCAR race on. I'm bouncing between the two. And my guy, Neil, the owner of the place, goes, "Hey, man, what are you watching on your phone? I can probably put that on the TV." So we ended up putting the NASCAR race on the TV. So watched stage one at home. Denny Hamlin takes that one. Watch stage two, most of it at the bar, and then I got out of there. Bubba Wallace, really good drive here in the middle of this race. Bubba Wallace ends up in your stage two winner. After that, a little bit of a slowdown. The DJ showed up to the bar. The energy level got really high, so I kind of checked out of the race for quite a bit. Stage two of a NASCAR race, it's always not that exciting. You've got some comers and goers usually, but at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this next-gen car on these long ovals, there's just nothing going on, right? You're riding around. First stage, I was looking at the timing loops. It was about 50, maybe 48, 47 seconds on a really hot lap. Second stage, these guys were running 53s and 54 second laps. So they backed the cars all the way down from 195 miles an hour all the way to down to like 160. So it's like, what are we doing here? We're saving fuel. Nobody's pressuring anybody. Just absolutely boring as hell. So we checked out of that. We were watching a little bit of wrestling. 1991 Survivor Series, Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair. Unbelievable match. So we could kind of check out of this NASCAR race and have a good time talking over that, watching some wrestling. So a little before that, we also got a delivery of food from the West Ellis Cheese and Sausage Shop. These guys are going to be our sponsors one of these upcoming weekends because I hooked up with one of their charcuterie board makers. The guy made this absolutely beautiful rose out of some summer sausage, and we've got bacon cheese, we've got Swiss cheddar, provolone, crackers. We got the whole setup coming. So these guys, they were closing down for the day, and they go, "Hey, we got stuff that we're not going to save over the weekend. You know, we're not reopening until Wednesday in the morning to serve breakfast." So we're bringing this cheese, sausage, and cracker platter over to the Drunk Uncle for the fundraiser. So Drunk Uncle is getting a little bit lit. We had to lock in, drink two or three waters before we head out. And then we're getting back to the home front for the end of this NASCAR Cup Series race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Lap 31, we finally go to the restart, and Kyle Larson starts in position 23, and he is absolutely driving through the field. So Larson was sending this thing in. He had awesome runs every time he got into turn 1, turn 3. He was driving underneath people. Absolutely awesome drive. Six laps to go. Kyle Larson is right on Ryan Blaney's bumper, and Keselowski is actually surprisingly still out there. He did a fuel strategy, but the race ended up going a little long, so he ended up having to pull off and get gas. But as I said, Kyle Larson running down Ryan Blaney, but then Kyle Busch, just this is mind-boggling stuff. He wrecks himself with two laps to go, like the bum he is this year, and he just destroys an absolutely amazing finish. So it looked like Reddick, Larson, and Blaney were just going to have an amazing finish to this thing for a green flag run. And Kyle Busch just goes out there and just, I don't know, I'm just going to hit the wall and screw everything up for everybody and have a terrible time like I've been doing all season. So Kyle Busch, you fucking prick. You've been giving Corey LaJoie an absolute horrible time this entire week. I hope the entire NASCAR driver garage just unloads on this guy, because he destroyed what would have been the absolutely best finish of the entire season for the NASCAR Cup Series. So with that being said, NBC at 5 o'clock Central Time here locally, 6 o'clock Eastern, they decide that, hey, we're just going to stop broadcasting this NASCAR race because we've got to go to local news. So I'm scrambling. I've got to find the USA app, USA TV. I'm throwing an HDMI cable in my computer. Unfortunately, I missed a little bit of the recap of what Kyle Busch did, and then I saw it on YouTube, and it's like, still, this guy just lost it. I mean, he lost the edge. He wrecked himself. Nobody is even anywhere close to him. Kyle Busch, you're garbage. You might as well just pack it up for the season and go to Cancun. So we get back on that USA network and we go green again after about a 20-minute cleanup under the red flag. We go green, we restart, and Ryan Preece, he wrecks out after the white flag had come out. I mean, I'm so fucking sick of these backmarkers ending these races because they cannot keep four wheels straight on this thing. But I will say, upon replay, it looks like Chase Elliott actually ended up trying to take some air off of Ryan Preece. And was this team orders? Did he take out Ryan Preece? Because his buddy Kyle Larson in that 5 car, you know, the 5-9 connection, I think Chase Elliott intentionally spun a backmarker to bring the white flag out because Reddick was close enough that he could have potentially won this race. But as B-Boy said via Discord, it didn't look like the gap was short enough that he was going to be able to get there. So Kyle Larson, he wins a quote crown jewel. I would like to have a heated discussion or further discussion about if the Brickyard 400 is actually a crown jewel or not. But overall, really, really fun race out there at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I may have to look into getting some tickets for this thing next year. We're going to jump right into storylines here. So we've got a little bit of update from why I missed that amazing finish at Xfinity yesterday afternoon. So we had a little bit of a birthday bash slash we're graduating medical school bash at the gym. So we ended up going to the beach, a bunch of the people from the gym, the climbing gym. We had gone down to the beach, tons of hotties everywhere. Tons of hotties on the volleyball court. So we had an absolutely amazing time. That's about all we got for storylines this weekend. I mean, there's a little bit of news coming out about the NASCAR silly season, but we'll get into that as we need to on the pod. So other series, this is one of our favorite sections. So Formula One Hungary, was it a good race? Question mark. It kind of seems like it was. I mean, I've said this on the pod before. I'm not a Formula One guy. I just can't get into it. But Pistorio won, and hey, it wasn't Max. So that's all we're gonna say about that, and we're gonna keep this thing moving. Next race that we saw of this weekend on Sunday was the IndyCar race in Toronto. This was awesome. Good race overall. I ended up watching most of it at the fundraiser that I was this afternoon. But we had an absolutely insane wreck with 13 laps to go. I mean, you had a car that kind of spun. I think it was a good decision to keep it green because the car was far enough off track and off the pace that it maybe seemed it was going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, holy smokes, a guy overcooks his tires and he hits the car that was spun backwards. And from there, it was in corny effect. You had 4, 5, 6, 7 cars caught up in this thing. And we ended up seeing a car go airborne upside down. Fortunately, the driver was able to walk away. And upon multiple alternate angles and reviews of this thing, because we had to go to the red flag, seeing Pat O'Ward's in-car coverage of this thing, oh my God. I mean, this just shows you the safety of these cars. It shows you how much engineering and design and time goes into the safety of these cars. Fortunate that we were able to walk away from that one. So ending up, Herta gets the win. Kirkwood was on P2, and Alex Palou rounds out your podium in P3. We can go back a week also for IndyCar. So Iowa, first time that we are using the hybrid car on the oval, and this was an absolute snooze fest. I don't even know how to describe how boring this was, but at a certain point, I was watching this with my dad, Papa G, and he goes, "Is anybody going to pass anybody in this entire race?" And I go, "I don't think so." So we ended up just shutting the TV off and we went outside and actually did a little bit of yard work, and I went and grabbed a beer at a local brewery, the Exporium, out there in the suburbs of Milwaukee. IndyCar, though, Milwaukee Mile, we are coming up very quickly on this in a couple of weeks, and we've got some friends and family that are going to be traveling here into Milwaukee for the doubleheader weekend of the Milwaukee Mile. Y'all, if you're listening to this, buy your tickets for IndyCar in Milwaukee Mile. Hit me up on Twitter at Podcast Big One, or YouTube, Discord, wherever. Find us, Podcast Big One, and we will hook you up with some free drinks in the parking lot before Milwaukee Mile. I'm not going to buy your tickets, but I will buy all of your pregame drinks in the parking lot. So that's all we got this weekend for our race updates from other series. Let's jump right into our race predictions for the upcoming weekend. Oh, by the way, it's not this upcoming weekend. We've got a rare break for NASCAR because we got the Olympics coming up. So NASCAR is stepping aside. They're letting NBC and Peacock and USA, all their broadcasting partners that we explored today, because NBC couldn't keep that thing going past 5 p.m. But we've got the Olympics coming up, and I'm absolutely here for it. Next time we're on track, though, we're at Richmond Raceway. We got truck at 7:30 Eastern, Worldwide Express 250. Xfinity 3:30 Eastern on Saturday, Cabo Wabo 250. Drivers are all going to be taking shots at tequila before that one. And then on Sunday, we've got the Cup race at 6 o'clock in Eastern, Federated Auto Parts 400. But that's about all we got this week for the Big One podcast. Standings, we're not going to do those this week. I mean, it's tight. The cut line's getting smaller and smaller every week. And it's been a pretty good NASCAR season so far. So new guy, he may read those standings at some point in the future. We're going to gloss over that one. But if you find us on Twitter, Podcast Big One, it's at Podcast Big One. And any emails, you can send us an email, podcastbigone@gmail.com. This has been another episode of the Big One Podcast, another solo episode here for Baby G. We're going to try to get some more guest on the pod in the coming weeks. When we get some of those local folks in here for the IndyCar in Milwaukee, we're going to do some hot mic. I think we're going to do some race recaps, and we're going to get it done. We'll catch you next time. Bye.